Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's on your mind? She's getting real, not afraid to feel. Take a soul to soul, just let it flow. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
I'm so excited to be here on this episode of Get Real with the one, the only, Cheval, which means French horse.
That's right. Horse in French.
Horse in French, because we're getting up. We're getting going.
Absolutely.
Right?
We're going to run against the wind.
We're running against the wind. This wild stallion can't be tamed. She's got sequins blowing right in your hair.
Unbridled.
Unbridled stallion. Horse in French. That is you, Cheval. I love this so much. Okay. So your mama did not name you Cheval.
She did not.
That is a name you have adopted lately.
That is my, form of identity, I would say.
Is that
right
like a
now.
Stage name?
Sure. I like that.
Do people like say hi, Cheval?
They do.
Like, I didn't even know how to say hi to you.
It's actually an issue that a lot of people have these days, because they're like, ooh, do I say what, how, you know, like, there's a fun little dance there. And then I'm just like, let's see what they say.
I know, because I'm like, so we're going to get into this. There's some plot lines here, guys. We have three plots. We have plot A, we have plot B, and we have plot C. Yes, this is very detailed, and it is going to keep you on your toes. So plot A. So there's a lawsuit involved that I don't know how to talk about. We're going to talk about and not talk about at the same time.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to be like totally incognito.
We can tip-tappy around.
We'll tip-tap around, but we'll just kind of get the gist of what has happened in your life, which involves a lawsuit to why your name's now Cheval.
Absolutely.
Which is an awesome name.
Thank you.
I mean,
I love it.
Super cool.
I thought it was strong. It almost had like a masculine energy. And because I'm such a girly girl, I was like, this is a fun juxtaposition.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wild and free, unbridled horse. Okay. So let's talk about where this all began. How did you get going? How did this start? Who are you? Like, who was the child you? Like, what was the family dynamic? What was the vibe of your upbringing? Let's start at the beginning. Like, where did this masterpiece of yourself come from?
You're sweet. well, it all started when my grandmother taught me to sew and bake and just threw me into all kinds of crafts and creating.
Really?
Yeah.
So your grandmother was super creative.
Super. And really encouraged it. My parents also were just very artistic and like, go for it, girl kind of thing. I had a sewing machine.
How old were you when you started sewing?
Oh, goodness. I think I was like 7.
Gosh. Okay. So you really can help set your children on their trajectory if you teach them skills that they like, if you introduce them to things when they're young. Were you introduced to tons of things?
I think it's intro and then just see where they go with it.
Because you were introduced to cooking, you're introduced to sewing. Yeah. What else were you introduced to?
Drawing. Yep. Illustrating all kinds of stuff, crochet.
Do you use all this still or did
still,
you? Still. So it all works together.
It does. And interestingly enough, most of the designers that I know or I've met through my journey, not all of them illustrate. So not all of them sketch quite the way I do. Like
you minor, sketch.
I sketch and they're very like, I don't know, well, imaginative, you would say, you know, like almost like cartoons. So they're really exaggerated and fun and playful. And I love incorporating that bit of almost like personification into the designs.
So do you get like, how do you get your ideas? Like, and how did you, cause you started with dresses or did you start with all things and then you narrowed it down to dresses?
I would say I did start almost with all things in the initial exposure. So growing up as a kid, I was like always picking up little fun creative projects and things and doing like handbags and selling them to my mom's friends and like just like random stuff like that. But I always gravitated toward the romantic craftsmanship that goes into wedding dresses. Mm. And so that was real early on. Maybe it was the Disney princess movies in
the
90s.
Were you a hopeless romantic?
For sure.
Do you want to get married when you were young?
Oh, heck yeah. And my parents have like a beautiful marriage. And so like-
They do? So you had a great childhood?
Amazing. Yeah, I had a great childhood.
That's awesome. So many people do not.
It's a huge blessing and a huge privilege to have that.
It is a huge privilege. I actually realized that too. My parents have done a great job and like they're still married and in love. And I'm like, man, it is amazing to make it all the way to the end.
It really is. And it was kind of for my sister and I just...
So just a sister.
Yeah, I have one older sister. And we both just kind of saw my parents as this great epic team, you know? Mm. And so she and I think when being exposed to that, it's like, oh, someday I'm going to get married, you know? And maybe I can even make my own wedding dress, you know? And so like it just set in early. But then that set me on a trajectory of like, I'm going to be a wedding dress designer someday.
You just
know,
knew it.
I mean, that was my dream.
You claimed it from early on.
Claimed it.
Like this is, I declare.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
This is my choice and this is what I'm doing. And then so everything went into that really for me. I just, you know, no matter what sewing class or whatever I was doing, the project, I was always had some element of wedding or, you know, marriage or romantic attachment.
And so then, you were manifesting hardcore. Yeah. Like you started this dream young and you stayed on the path.
I stayed on track. And then I went through college. I did the design school at Cornell and everything was just
You went all
that.
The way.
All the way.
You're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it right. I got this dream when I was 7 and we are making it happen. We're going to Cornell.
Yes.
I am going tip of the top.
Let's make it good. And then actually I had a great college experience. They really teach you pattern making, draping, a little bit of entrepreneurial stuff. And it was really well-rounded. But I graduated with a Bachelor's of Science. And so...
Bachelor's of Science. So what does that mean
I learned like the textures and the like scientific makeup of fabrics and like really cool stuff. And almost like the math side of it all, which really I think helped me in terms of like conceptualizing an idea from sketch through fruition of a dress and like the construction and quality of fabric and all this stuff. Like you really, that goes into it from a wholesome perspective of it.
Are you super particular about fabrics?
You know, I'm actually more particular about the expression of a fabric. Like obviously
Break
it's
that
important.
Down for me. I know. What does that mean? Break that down
like,
for me.
What does it do? You know, like,
what is, okay. Okay. How what does a fabric do?
What does it best do? So it doesn't matter what the content is. Like, yes, of course you want like something super quality and silk or whatever. But I think a lot of these new synthetic fabrics that are coming out, like do amazing things, you know, like they'll repel water or they can almost stick together and create almost like a seamless look. And then the embellishment of it, you need the right base fabric. You know, there's just so much that goes into like
building a wedding dress. Actually, if you're building it with the wrong fabrics, like you could probably do the sketch and get the idea. Getting the sketch and getting an idea is totally different than picking the fabrics and making the dress too, right?
Absolutely.
That's a huge distinction.
Yeah, it is. And that's something, you know, with any type of skill set or practice, you get better at, right? And so like, I just went all in on that and I fully embraced it, learned as much as I could. And really in college is where I decided, okay, I can actually do this and I can do it well and I can make a living doing it someday. Because I think when you're growing up and you have these big dreams, you think, well, how do I do that? Like if you wanted to be an actress or you wanted to be an influencer, like how do you get to that?
Right.
It's always
what are the
seems
steps?
So far away. But I think just really practicing, you're going to get better. And if you genuinely enjoy it, it comes from a place of enthusiasm and you hold on to that, especially when dumpster fires happen, you know, like if you can keep your enthusiasm through it, it's a very good thing.
That is so true, because dumpster fires can really take you down.
Yeah. Yeah. And
especially
distract.
When it's your whole dream and name, really, yes. You know, everything. Yeah. Okay. So was your sister, is she also a creative dreamer like you, or did y'all go different paths?
She's an epic badass. She's a producer and like crushing it. And so inspiring. Yes.
Oh my gosh, are y'all besties?
Yeah, we are. We've come through it and back too, because we've both been through divorces and crazy.
Both of y'all have been divorced.
Crazy setbacks, yes. And growing up in the family we did, you
when
know.
You come up from a perfect family and then y'all both got divorced. How does that happen?
It just, I think you just never know what to expect. And I also feel because if you're an optimist and you constantly want to put your heart on your sleeve and do the best you possibly can, a lot of times there's vulnerabilities exposed, or there's things that you either, you know, I call it painting red flags pink.
Red flags pink. You would make it so cute and like pretty and girly.
I don't need that
We're
flag.
We're just going to color it pink. It's red, but.
Exactly. A little diamond dust.
It's fine. It's not really red.
Yes.
It's pink.
A little bit of that going on. But
So looking back now, because you've now gone through a divorce with your relationship romantically, but also with your business, you know?
Yeah,
so you've obviously dealt with some red flags that have materialized into like kind of erupting. What are
perfect way to say it?
You know, you always hope the red flags just go away.
Yeah. Like, and now it's erupting and you're like, oh no, it's coming.
So red flags, can you kind of speak to all of us out there who are living with blinders on and young, because it started when you're young. Do red flags ever go away?
I don't think so. I don't know. I guess it's all relative and there are exceptions to the rule. But I do think I relate to a lot of women that have that intuition or that gut feeling that you ignore or you push down or you come up with conspiracy theories against yourself of like what it's not. You know, because you want something to happen or you want it to materialize in a certain way.
And then, it's always like close. It's like so close. There's so many things that are so good about it. You're like, it's like 70% there. Let's just not worry about the last 30%, right?
Exactly. It's the majority overruling. That's right.
Yeah. We're going to round up.
Oh, goodness. And then it starts to grow the opposite way. So,
right.
Yeah. But I don't know. I do feel like tenacity and resilience and just like the idea of success is really about just like recognizing the ebbs and flows of life, but knowing that the failures are going to happen, the mistakes are going to happen. And if you can maintain your light, you know, and maintain your enthusiasm for what you do, that is a sign of success for me.
This is your message.
Oh, that is totally the message.
No matter how successful you are in your personal relationships or your business relationship, your actual message is maintain your light through the dumpster fires.
Exactly. Be lighter than that dumpster fire somehow. Like, outshine the dumpster fire.
I saw this too, and you have so much in common with Taylor Swift, you know, because she's in legal battles as well. But also she said too, like, she's had so much stuff on her, and she said, you just have to get through all this and then have more fun than everybody else. And I'm like, that is so true, because when you're going through the worst stuff, it really takes your fun away. It takes your light away. You can really, like, crawl in a hole and die.
Yes, you cannot unpack and live there.
No.
You know, because you'll take a visit every once in a while.
Do you have to like take a vacation there for a while? Did you have a permanent stay for a minute?
A
Not a permanent. Did you have like a, you know, like a residency for a second?
I did. I absolutely did. I feel like that's the healthy thing to do. Just
you got
to
get in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to like meet it and say, who the hell are you? What are we doing? Like, what do you want from me?
Yeah. And I think there's a bit of accountability too in that space, because when something like that happens.
Accountability. Look at you claiming some stuff. Because there's always your side, their side, and the truth, right?
There is like a, okay, well, there must have been something that I did for this to happen, you know? And I think in accepting it and owning part of it.
That's maturity right there.
It's maturity, but it's also like, I didn't know what I didn't know, right? Mm. And then like, I am paying the debt for my own naivety or ignorance.
And don't we all do that though?
We do.
You just did it on a bigger scale.
Ugh.
On a legal
way
scale.
Out there.
Because that's what I'm, okay, so now that we, let's move into plot line B here, which is where you really like hit your stride. Like, you become the wedding dress designer. You are the face of Say Yes to the Dress. Like, how did that even happen? Let me throw a few things out there and then let's unpack it. You become like the face of Say Yes to the Dress. Like, you are helping like over 40,000 brides find their wedding dress or something like that. Like thousands. thousands.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
You are the it wedding dress designer. I mean, everybody knows you. Everybody's talking about you. You're pinned on everything. It's like, that's you. It's not the name Cheval, by the way. It's a different name.
Correct.
Which, yeah.
Distinction is needed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because Cheval is not wedding dresses. It is wonderful other things. That's plotline C, so we'll move to that later. There's just so many things. I don't want to get it confused.
I know. You're doing a great job.
Okay. And so you become this, like, epic designer, and you probably needed some money to get your business going, right? Or something. You found a partnership, and this partner, you found a company to back you financially, right?
Oh, this one, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're back on, like,
we're plot, back in the beginning. This
we're
is like
plot A, okay.
Plot, yeah. When you, well, plot B, plot A was childhood. Now plot B into, like, your career. Yes. So you are going to launch and become the successful wedding dress designer. But do you need a backer? Like, you need someone to help you launch this?
Yeah, so basically it was a house of brands existing with other designers, and was almost like a plug and play in that, like, they had existing distribution and manufacturing. And then, you know, I was coming to the table and was offered an employment role as a head designer, but it would be using my name as the name for the collection.
Okay, wait. Okay. Okay. So this is the part that we got to break down. You were, this is like, it's almost like a record label. So, like, there's a, I can speak in music terms. There's like a record label, and you're going to be a signed artist, but the record label owns, is like the yes. the machine behind
perfect
it all.
It. Yes.
But you're an artist signed, and you're the artist is using your name. So you're going to be the brand, and you're going to have the creativity, which would be like your songs that you create and you put out and you go tour and you're the face of it and all that. But yes, you are technically kind of owned by the record label or the bigger brand.
Yes. And every contract is nuanced, right? So it's not always generalized, but in my case, it was an employment contract as a head designer.
Okay, an employment contract as a head designer with this big brand, but the name is going to be your name.
Correct. Yeah, so I had to give rights for my name to be trademarked because it was the name of the collection.
Probably don't think anything of that when you're 25. Probably actually sounds maybe cool.
It was the, yeah, chance to shoot my shot. And I think being that age, and I had a little industry experience under my belt, about 4 or 5 years. And I'd already spearheaded my own collections and been designing very heavily. I had a robust resume coming in.
Okay. And you had some, you're cooking with grease.
I was cooking.
Yeah.
Cooking.
You're cooking. You
cooking
had
with grease. I love it.
Yes. I saw that from Lainey Wilson. She has a song called Cooking
so
with Grease.
Cute. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then,
so you were desirable. They wanted you.
Absolutely. And I actually sought them out originally, and I presented, you know, a bit of a business model, and it happened very fast. So from the time of, like, you know, we're going to offer you this to, like, here's the contract. And I think at the time I just didn't want to lose my opportunity. And knowing how many people want to be designers and get their shot. And I felt like the responsibility was on me wholly to show them what I could do and what, like.
And to agree maybe to what they want so you could.
Yeah. And not be combative, not push back, not ever, like, put anything out there that would ever seem like, you know, I'm not a team player. And I think a lot of young designers relate to that and thinking, you know, if I show any sign of being difficult or
they're going to walk away,
they're not going to want to work with me.
And I'll lose my opportunity.
Exactly. And I also felt like you can trust the people kind of in the room. I had that mindset of, like, I'll be taken care of. They would never do this.
No, you know, like, never.
You feel that, you know?
I know. You sure do, don't you?
Yes,
in the beginning.
Absolutely.
I know this feeling too. Like, starting off as, like, a young dreamer, and then here comes the first big opportunity that could be life-changing and was life-changing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, comes, shows up, and you're like, oh, my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. Yes, of course. Everything. Yes, yes, yes. But here's the thing. So here, okay. They obviously promised you things. Do you feel like their promises, like their obligations were upheld? Like, you, does this come down to you signing a contract that just in retrospect, you wouldn't have ever signed again now as the woman that you are? Like, is it basically that? Because is it just deal points that you just kind of didn't even know you were signing at that point?
Yeah. So the latter part of what you just said is spot on. It's, now that I know what I know, I would have obviously never done it. But I think that interpretation is the bigger word here, in that you can have a contract. It's the way it's interpreted. It's the way that somebody is extending the entitlements or how they're, going to be enforcing it, That's it. And then for me, that was the lesson. It's like, okay, you can have a contract, but it only matters how much the person behind it or the parties behind it are willing to go for it. And where they're willing to take it. And in my case, it went to places I never possibly imagined, not in my wildest dreams.
Okay. So that's what happened is it kind of went beyond what they kind of were pursuing parts of you that you felt like weren't really attached to the brand.
Absolutely. And it, from my perspective and experience, you know, for so long, I was operating as a team player. Like everything I'm doing is for the benefit of the whole, right? And it didn't matter. So much of the nuance and the circumstances that didn't exist at the time of signing didn't matter to me because I felt like it would benefit everyone. I think I actually thought I was getting this, oh my gosh, it's a dream and I'm going to go do all these things. And I was the one that was like, let me make this blossom and turn it into something even bigger. When in reality, what I got was a job. I signed a contract. I got a job. Like I wasn't
as a designer,
really,
as a head designer.
And that's really what it's come down to is that, oh my gosh, that's really actually what it was. But here I was thinking like
rose colored glasses.
I'm going to be a partner someday, or I'm going to be this, or I'm going to someday I'll be able to get what I think I'm deserved, rather than asking for it up front. It's that I need to prove it. And that was the mindset that really bit me in the butt.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knix Anniversary Sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knix's biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knix leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knix wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knix favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knix.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knix Anniversary Sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knix.com. That's KNIX.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Well, it's hard to know what you're worth when you haven't really fully proved your full capability yet, you know?
Yes.
I get that dilemma. It's like, you know what you're capable of and you know what you believe that you will accomplish, but like you can't, you don't have anything truly to show for it.
Absolutely not. And it's the stubborn mindset of that. And then maybe a little bit of imposter syndrome and just whatever it may be. But like going back to that moment, I don't feel like the answer really would have been, oh, I needed to get a lawyer and negotiate and get a better contract. Because now that I've been going through this battle and seeing the psychology of it, there's no way I would have been able to do it without all this, like now what you would call leverage and proof of concept and all this. Like I really was kind of nobody because I didn't have enough of that, you know, experience behind it. So I think my answer would have been to think of other companies, think of other capital investors, think of other ways to achieve my dream, which would have required so much more wisdom and knowledge that
and
I even had.
More, and like, it's hard to have that kind of blind faith when you're so excited to have this opportunity because you're like, what if I don't get another one?
Exactly.
You know, It's so many things at play here. There's
it's
like, it's the youth, it's the, you know, being young and being a dreamer and having a dream come true, looking like it could come true. Then there's like the whole legality. That's a whole nother world because like, where do we measure? Okay, yes, you signed this. This is legal, but yet we're dealing with someone who really is naive, doesn't know what she's doing yet, you know, like, so what is, it's like the moral dilemma, you know, because does legal trump everything ultimately, I guess?
I don't know if it's kind of, I don't even know how I would answer that because now that I've experienced what I have, I just feel like anything goes, you know, it's just like, I used to think of, you know, marriage a certain way. I used to think of like the law, it's black and white. It's either here's the facts, here's what's going on, this is what the law says. But then it's like, oh no. Over here, it says this. And if you look at it this way, it's like, there's so much creativity that goes into it, which I can appreciate. But it's also like, oh, I wish this was kind of just very clear of what has happened.
Because even if it is the law, like, it can still be so gray.
Yeah, it just seems, very, very gray.
And so. You've dealt with that now through divorce of like a partner, of husband, and a business. Wow, yes. You really have like entered the gray zone.
I'm in it. Yeah, just looking for the rainbow.
Okay, so I want to talk about, obviously, we're going to talk about when things started to go wrong, but like things were going really right for a long time, right?
Yes. I mean, I feel I loved my job, you know, and I loved what I was doing and I wouldn't change that for anything. Like the relationships and the women I've met and been inspired by over the years and just there's so much beauty to come from it. Being on the show, Say Yes to the Dress, was
like, how did that happen? How did you get on? Where did that even come from?
I mean, I never expected to be on a TV show, to be honest. And I've never had media training. Like,
you're a natural.
You're so sweet. But I think it's because of my gymnastics days.
Like, you're a gymnast?
I was a little baby gymnast for like so long. Yeah, and then I did it through college. So like
can you do like round up by
canter? I can do all that kind of stuff.
Flips.
A little twirly twirl.
I was going to say this. You have very strong legs. I've been looking on Instagram. I'm like, she is strong. Like your whole legs, it's like, you are like, whoa. Yeah. You are like so amazing. Like your body is amazing, so but you're like ripped.
Yeah, I have what I call center thighs in a very good way. So
you're a gymnast.
Yeah. But the performance side of it and like, The competition side.
And gymnastics is
never left me.
Totally subjective. It's not.
It is.
It's not like, it's someone's judgment.
It's so much
judgment.
You've
been living in other people's judgment forever. Judgment zone, the gray zone. Because gymnast is not like you get a score on a basketball goal or a football goal. It's like someone sits around, looks at you, and then huddles up and decides if you have won or not or why. And it's so subjective.
It is. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's kind of maddening a little bit.
Maybe there's something about it that I just like, I think of the line from The Office when Angela's like, I like to be judged. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's some of that in me. I don't even know. But yeah, so I got on Say Yes to the Dress. It just kind of happened. I was doing a trunk show at Kleinfeld and was asked to just participate and come on the show. And it just worked out really well. And then my first wedding was on the show, and it just kind of was very natural. And I really loved my experience there because it was an extension of what I was already doing.
Oh, so it wasn't it's a like, perfect fit.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to like memorize lines and like,
you just be yourself.
You just get to be you. And so I was like, this is great. You know, so
and did they only shop from your dresses?
Oh, no, no. The show is like, it welcomes all kinds of designers and, you know, like,
you're like the host of it.
No, so I was actually just a designer on the show. So I would come in like during a trunk show, and a bride would be there on the show, and then I would help her find the right dress. And sometimes it wasn't, you know, wasn't one of mine or something like that. Okay. But like for me, it's like the experience of it all and just being there present with a bride. And it's wonderful.
So how cool. So sometimes your dresses would be in the mix of them picking, and other time others. So like, yeah. you just are like, I just love wedding dresses.
Oh, for sure.
And you just appreciate great quality. So you can see that in others. You can see that in your own. That's really cool. So you had the designer aspect, but then also you were like, helped curate other people's just based on dresses that you loved and thought would be great for them.
Yes, absolutely. It was all embracing and everything. And I loved being on the show, and I think it really helped me understand that there is a lot of different ways to reach people and get visibility. And then you've got Instagram alongside it, right? Which I was an early adapter to Instagram.
And what year was all this popping for you?
Well, Instagram I joined in like 2012, I think, like April. And like my girlfriend was like, you would love Instagram. I'm like, what's this gram thing? You know, and like I was taking pictures of my lattes and late nights out in New York City at 20, you know, 6 years old. And I actually since had deleted a lot of the things that you would never want up there. But now I actually wish I had left all of that up. But
just to show that it's.
Yeah, because Instagram came into play with the contract and everything in a very interesting way.
Did it kind of hinge on social media?
So basically, social media, nobody really knew what it was in the beginning, I felt. Right. And like, so me, I just was like, this is a great way to show what I'm doing and show my life and show my work. And, you know, it just became this thing. And then on Say Yes, it grew and, you know, over 1 million followers. And I really loved it because I consider myself sometimes a little bit antisocial. Mm. Like I'm good in events and like big settings, but like I don't have like a huge network of friends like close to me or anything. So I always like operate alone, and social media is really fun because you can kind of show up when you want. And like, it was just so easy. And so I loved it. And then I ended up actually having to turn over my account when the lawsuit hit. And they argued the ownership of it and everything, and I'm still fighting for it. But the most recent update there is I appealed it in the Second Circuit, and they used basic property law to say that this is actually, that you have to look at it in terms of property law. Was it ever transferred? How was it opened? You know,
what does that mean? Okay. So did you open your Instagram account after you had signed this contract?
Yes. Yeah, so I opened it shortly
after. So your deal
after.
Did not really include the Instagram because you didn't even have
a designer.
Like, what if you would have never opened an Instagram or a TikTok? Like, were you?
I can't imagine. I know.
This might not have even happened.
Now I'm starting to think, what if I leased a car? Like, what other contracts if I had, you know, the way that it's kind of been interpreted, and this is obviously from just my opinion and experience, but, you know, it opens like a whole, like, well, how do you decide this versus this? And
so basically,
you know,
saying any entity that has your brand in it belongs to them, even if it, no matter what.
I guess that's kind of how you could look at the way they're arguing. So basically with this Instagram, when I opened the account, I used my birth date and my cell phone and my location. And I just, you know, agreed to Facebook and Instagram's terms of services, you know, and started my account. It wasn't like, you know, I'm going to be a social media director and start like, you know, making money or making brand deals for the, you know, nothing like that. And so now that we were in the Second Circuit, that's basically how they're looking at it, which is really major for case law. So I'm hoping.
This is like a moment in time for like social media.
Like, new case law is being made. Yes, exactly. So we'll see what happens. I mean, everything is open-ended. It's still moving. My former employer is actually in bankruptcy court right now. And so that's interesting. So I don't know. But my true hope and desire is that I actually do get my account back in its rightful possession, and praying for that every day.
So basically, you started this Instagram account. It was posting all your life, regular life. And then your brand really took off and really grew. And then it became focused. The Instagram account became focused on your designer work mainly.
Not really, actually.
The whole time you're still intertwining your personal life.
Yeah, it's always been, you know, my
strictly designer page.
Yeah, I mean, it was always my personal account first and showing up as a human. And
okay, so that was consistent.
Yeah, and now that I have done influencer deals and brand deals, you know, it's like, you know, you sign a contract, you know when you're posting, you know how often you're posting, all the restrictions and things that go into it. And it's like, none of that. There was none of that. Like, I just posted whenever the heck I wanted, you know, and whenever. And, you know, I took a break during like big moments in history, you know, with Black Lives Matter movement. And so, like, you know, I just did it however I felt like I wanted to show up. And obviously it has been interpreted in totally different ways. But, you know, I do think in this kind of scenario, karma is currency. And when you have an audience and you're showing up for people every day, they see it. They know. You know, and for me, my saving grace has really been the public court, because all these brides and all these people I met in the way along the way, they got to know me. They were there, you know, they grew with me. And so for them to watch what had happened to me, it was infuriating, I think, for a lot of people, because it felt like a tarnishing of something that wasn't that, you know, that was trying to be painted. And so that for me, I think, kept my head above water for a really long time. It's just knowing I had this amazing community behind me.
When did the tables turn? Like, because if you started the Instagram as you, the human, and then you put a lot of focus probably on your designer work, but still the human, you had been showing up the whole time. Why was there a moment where it's like, this is not okay? You cannot show up as a human on your account. You have only can be the brand. You can only be presented as a brand. Like, when did that moment turn?
There really wasn't that moment for me. I actually had my password up until the TRO was granted. And I had to turn over my personal password within 24 hours to this company.
Should I know what TRO is?
It's a temporary restraining order.
You got a temporary restraining order against yourself?
I also have a contempt motion. I am like adulting on another level in this, and like in the court world. It has been so scary, but also
do you
like,
have a restraining order against yourself?
No, I mean,
against your
that's
own
what it
name?
Sounds like, right?
But like but against
it,
your own
but
name?
Basically, yes, that's what it was.
Like you cannot use your own name. You're restrained against using your own name. Now that is next level.
Yeah, it was pretty scary because we had been negotiating for almost a year and a half while I was working for the company, and I was trying to, you know, find a way to make this work. And
so you were trying to renegotiate. That's when this all happened.
The contract was coming to an end.
Okay.
And that was the first time I really brought in legal counsel and was like, let's look at this and let's see, you know, what we can make happen here. And the hostility in the environment, and there was a lot going on there that was just extremely traumatizing for me. But eventually it resulted in the company just filing a federal lawsuit against me. And it had to do with my name. And then all of a sudden this Instagram and like all this stuff kind of got thrown in.
That you had been doing normally the whole time. They didn't care about the whole time. And now all of a sudden when you're renegotiating, it's a factor.
It's up.
But it had never been a factor before.
No, it was not incorporated into any one of my contracts. Never was this like, you're going to do this and you're going to run it on this, you know, like nothing like that. And, you know, the way it was presented, obviously it was convincing, or I don't know how to say it, but like, you know, it obviously went a certain way in the courts. And like the truth is I have to respect a court system. You know, you have to just say like, this is what's happening and I'm going to keep fighting and I'm going to keep doing what I think is right as long as the resources last. But when I had to turn over my personal passwords to the company and I lost the right to use my name, and then now most recently I basically cannot identify to the trade.
You can't identify to the trade?
So I cannot identify to the trade as a designer in any of the categories my former employer manufactures and sells. So essentially, I cannot identify as a wedding dress designer, correct? But I can't do it no matter what name I'm using. So it's me, the actual human being, that can't. It doesn't matter what my name is.
Are you saying that right there? Is that illegal?
No, that's actually from the ruling. So I can say that. I mean, I definitely.
I formally identify as a wedding dress designer?
Yeah, that's exactly the language. So like I've tried to be so respectful and like this is exactly what it says. And so.
This is kind of insane. It's just like maddening.
Well, it's also scary too, because I feel like I've been so inaccurately portrayed. I want to be able to share with people exactly what's going on. It's been a public case, so there's a lot of case filings you can look at and, you know, catch up to speed. But it's just been ongoing for 3 years. And so the non-compete aspect of this, which is basically a restriction on trade, was the hardest out of everything. From it my totally name to my social media, this one was the banger because I realized everything has to do with identity right now, right? And like your sense of self is being challenged. But I think I identify the most as a wedding dress designer, more than my own name, more than like how I show up on social.
Huge part of who you are.
It is.
Maybe the most part of who you are.
It was. And then they're like,
because you're 7 years old and this is what you were going to be.
And then you, when you double down on something, like triple down, like all I did was practice the female form and how to make beautiful dresses from start to finish, you know? And then it's like, I actually can't do that anymore. Like I actually cannot. And I'm not even getting paid. It's not a paid, not a provision. I'm not getting royalties. I'm not getting commission on any of the dresses they're still manufacturing and selling. So it is very, very like by this is restrictive. This is what the ruling says. And I think it was really shocking to people because they're like, how does something like this happen? And a lot of it again comes back to that original contract, of course, but how it is actually being interpreted, right? So it's just really interesting. And when you're in that kind of scenario, you have some soul searching, right? Because you're like, wait.
I feel like this, you probably hit the mat.
I mean, it was the moment of like, it was rock bottom. And then you realize there's something even lower than
there's like
bottom.
A trap door.
There's the trap door. Exactly.
And then the trap door just leads to the free fall into the black abyss.
Yes. Like the moon door in Game of Thrones.
Like, you're like, I don't even happening. Know. There's no landing spot. I'm just free falling that's into exactly nothingness.
That's exactly how it
grabbing
falls.
For anything and nothing to grab. And you're like, what is actually happening here? Is this a nightmare, but not? It's your real life going down?
It went from like fairy tale to scary tale real quick. But
which can also be wedding, which like say yes to the dress. Like you have this amazing fairy tale wedding and then it can also, gosh, you're dealing with the extremities here.
Yeah. And then now it's say yes to the mess. I joke. But yeah,
that's true.
We actually haven't had a chance to really go back and dive into it, but it's been ongoing. But what I've really learned to do is put it in a box. Like
put what in a box?
The entire thing of like the trauma and the lawsuit and losing all my money and like everything has to be here.
Losing your full identity that you had locked into your whole life.
Like it almost felt like that for a minute, you know, but what I realized is it's like, again, going through these moments, holding on to the inside of me of like, oh, I just want to create and make women feel happy. You know, like that's what I want to do. Like, let's find another way to do that. Right.
Good
like,
for you.
Seems basic.
Picking up yourself by the bootstraps.
Sparkle bootstraps, of course.
Gosh. Reinventing, yeah. Rebranding, creating a whole new brand after that. But like, let's talk about this moment though. What happens when, obviously it's not your full identity. You are not a wedding dress designer. Can I say that?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So you're not that. But it felt like that was all that you were. Now it's completely being taken away. What happens when you lose your full identity? Like, especially your public identity. You're so loved. People are loving your dresses. I mean, it's like a big, awesome thing that's happening in your life. And now it's all gone. All of it.
Yeah, it was.
How do you navigate?
Shocking.
What did you do? Where did you go?
Where did I go? Well, at the time, I felt very lucky to still have the family and the environment around me and these amazing people that showed up for me. And there was a real quick giddy up to the community that gave me again, this sense of responsibility of like, I need to keep showing up and getting through this. And like, the option is not to go. I know the option is not to go crawl under a rock, even though I think
for a while
I did for a hot minute. And like the unseen hours was an interesting place for me because
what does that mean?
Like the unseen hours of, like, you know, you're not showing it on social media. You're doing what you need to do to deal with the grief of it, right?
The grieving hours.
Absolutely. But I also just felt like when something that you feel like you can do, you no longer can do it. And especially being the competitor I am and
gymnast,
somehow
okay.
being under a non-compete, I was like, wait, what? You know, like, hold on.
And it
let
feels
me get
not
this straight.
Fair. So
like,
you just have to surrender over.
You do. You have no choice.
With no and fight. You can't fight.
It's like getting redshirted kind of, right? Like you're sitting on the
when
bench.
When you're the star,
you feel like,
when you're the one who should be the first string.
That's so nice of you to say. I definitely never considered myself, you know, like, oh man, like,
but you
I'm
knew
the
you
best,
should be in the game.
I felt like I should be in the game and I felt like the world would be better for it. And I say that very confidently, even though I have trouble with my own confidence at times. I just feel like it would have been better for me to be able to do what I can do because I feel like I could have brought even more women joy, brought more business to small businesses. Like, I think it would have helped the economy. And so when I think about that from a competition standpoint, I decided to take it as a compliment.
Wow.
That I was a threat.
Wow.
Of some sort.
How did you,
you know, like, let's,
how did you
let's
have
switch
the,
this somehow?
The balls to do that. Like, I would be under a rock dead meat for sure. How did you have the tenacity to be like, okay, this is a compliment?
That way. Like, exactly like that. Like, oh. Brendan Barrett. Yeah, it is. Not a usual circumstance. And when you're an exception in this particular scenario, like, you think of being exceptional.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with The Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out The Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knicks anniversary sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knicks' biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knicks leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knicks wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knicks favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knicks.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knicks anniversary sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knicks.com. That's KNIX.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
So, like, it's a positive spin. But I also just think you have to decide where your energy goes. And if you defeat and you succumb to the doom of it, you're going to go nowhere, right? You have no choice. I actually felt like I had no choice but to, like, find a way to at least move forward. Not move on, but move forward. That's it. Like, what is that? And honestly, it was like, ooh, shoes, because you step forward, you know, like, this is it.
But the fact that you could create a whole brand with wedding dresses, be so successful, like, iconic in that field, and then hit the mat, have everything taken from you, and then start a whole nother brand, like, shoes, How does one do that to build something again from the scratch, like to start from the bottom again, how do you even like start again?
I think of my grandma like baking when the dough's bad, you know, or something like you have to start over, kind of bake from scratch. But I also decided not to think of reinvention and this whole thing is really starting over because I did have skill sets that were transferable. I did learn a lot. I learned the hard way. And I think I am just somebody that needed to learn that way, right? Like this is God telling me this is what your journey is going to be. You can handle it though. You know, like wink, you know, like, okay, fine. You know, like
I'm going to put you hard through the fire, but you're going to come out even a brighter diamond.
That's what I was hoping. Like the grit, no pearls, right? No pressure, no diamonds.
So he's like, we're going to make this a big shiny diamond here, but we're going hard into the fire and the grit.
But I think there's also some bit of freedom in, okay, well, what else could possibly happen at this point? You know, like with respect to what was going on, I was like, I don't feel vulnerable anymore.
I don't
feel vulnerable in that going through this, it's not like I became more confident, right? Because I had to start over. I had to start in a new trade. I have to learn something new. But I'm just not as scared of people anymore.
Because it's already been like, so bad.
It's been bad.
It's been awful. Happened,
and I'm still here, thank goodness, you know, but so it's like.
You kind of know you can make it through anything.
But yeah, now I'm kind of like, let them do whatever they need to do, you know? And like, maybe it's the emotion that I've kind of been able to tame a little bit better.
Not reacting and just getting lost. Yeah. I have that so bad. I've been triggered lately where it's like something hits. I thought I had done all this therapy work and all this stuff and I was so level-headed and then, oh my God.
Gets you.
It gets you. And like the reaction of yourself is shocking for me.
Like what am I saying right now?
Like what did I just like, how did that send me into this stratosphere of this other human? But you can't help it, but you've learned how now to like catch your emotions.
You definitely have to practice at it.
It's a practice.
Work at it. Because I do think there's something to being really passionate and like heartening with things. And I don't want to lose my ability to be emotional in my work. Mm. Right. And like a sentimental designer, I think it's the best kind of designer. But with business, like you really have to put on a different hat. And so I've kind of learned to do that. And oh, you know, it's just business, but like really it is emotional, you know? And if you can be the less emotional person and figure out a way to be strategic, you're probably going to come out better. Even if you feel like you can convince someone, you shouldn't waste your time convincing somebody who's already committed to misunderstanding you, right?
Even if you can convince someone, say that again. That was really good.
You don't want to waste time trying to convince somebody who is like already committed to misunderstanding you, right? Like,
yes.
You just, why? Like, there's so many people that are already going to be on your side. So
why try to make this one turn to your side?
And like, maybe it won't work out. Let's move on to the next, you know? And it's like, it's so simple, you know? And so like, if you can kind of remind yourself with that at times when it's not really worth it to get that emotionally invested, I think it's important and savor the emotions for when it really counts. It's hard to do, but I feel like that's something I've been practicing, especially in like the new business. You know, you face a whole new set of challenges, especially as a small business owner. I've never run a business, right? And like now I'm learning this, let's put on the business cap and learn P&L statements, you know? And it's just—
Were they running the business?
Yeah, so in my former situation, I was really just an employee.
So you didn't have to do any of the business part
of
it?
Yeah, like I just got to be the creator. And, you know, I think I would have been excited to take on more of that role. But now that I had no choice and I'm going to be an entrepreneur now, you'd see it as that. Like, I do feel like I'm much better being a creator, but I'm so happy and energized being an old dog learning new tricks, you know, in the sense of like I've had a lot of life to live and what a blessing it is to kind of learn this new chapter. And now when we're released and we're allowed to do more things or we decide to go into other product lines, we have a much better lens of like knowing what we're capable of and where we need to bring support in, whether it's capital investors, whether it's partners, whether it's, you know, you start to really appreciate that, yes, experience is the best way to learn, but the wisest of people learn from other people's mistakes.
I know. I wish I could just do that now. Like people write all these books, people tell you all these things, there's all these gurus and they're like, just do this, just do what I say. And I'm like, no, I want to go set myself on fire and just like run around naked in the parking lot and see if I explode. Let me try that first, and then maybe I'll listen to you.
I just heard this thing the other day. I was like, for once, I would like things to spiral into control. Like, yes. But like, that's, it's going this way, like a firework. And like, oh shoot, did I just set that off inside?
Yes. I have an app. I have in my notes now, I have life rules. So as soon as I learn a life rule, because I've been learning so many lessons, particularly in this season of my life, that I'm like, when I get a hard lesson that I learn, I like write it in my notes. And I'm like, I need to like put this, paint this on my wall, tattoo it on my arm or something. But like, it is so hard to learn these big life lessons. So what should we look for in contracts now? Because obviously this all comes back to you signing a contract that really wasn't a great contract, but here it is, it's a contract. And so what should we look for in contracts? Like what would you do differently now?
Hire a lawyer, number one.
Well,
it seems easy, but apparently it's kind of difficult. But yeah, hire a lawyer. Obviously trust what people do and not what they say. And in that scenario, it's like, it needs to be in paper. It's got to be written down. It cannot be like, oh, we'll figure that out later. Oh, everything's negotiable. You know, any of that stuff. Mm-mm.
Oh, like, let's not worry about that. We'll get to that later. Don't sign it, but it's not going to be a big deal. We'll come back around.
Put it on the paper, that one. And then I think the third is to keep in mind that, yes, it's a paper document. It is a contract. But you are also making an agreement with another partner, another person, and the quality of that being is very, very important. Mm. And you don't always know what to expect or what could happen. And while you might be somebody like me who wears her heart on her sleeve and wants to believe the best of you, all this good stuff, you know, you can still be enthusiastic and like excited about what you want to do and protect yourself. And so like, just do your best to make sure that there is a real exit strategy for everyone, that both partners are being considered or parties are being considered, and that you take time. Like if anyone is rushing you, red flag.
Urgency.
Red flag. Yes.
Yes. Urgency. My therapist used to tell me anything that's urgent is not true.
Yes. I have no business then.
Yeah.
No business learning about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like you kind of struggled though in the gray zone of the contract though. So like for people listening who are like, okay, what is that gray zone that you would do differently now? Like instead of that really kind of like messed you up. And was it because you were renegotiating and you were wanting it to be more black and white and you were wanting more, like more ownership, more probably financial, like all the more of everything, because now you've built this brand. They're saying, no, you can't have more. We want to keep you the same. And the gray zone happens.
Yeah. I think the gray zone is really just a managing of expectations, right? And what people are wanting. And, you know, from my experience and in my particular situation, I just knew the current status of like what thing, like it just, there wasn't enough really articulated and considered for what I felt like I had taken on, and like things needed to be really properly put in there. Instagram's a perfect example. It was never like, social media is not, I'm a designer. I'm not a content creator. And like,
and content creator,
that's not my job.
That like, wasn't even a thing
for
really
me,
back
at least
then.
I didn't see it as that. Yes. And that was not a thing.
But now it's such a thing and everyone probably would consider it in a contract now.
You have teams.
But then, yeah.
Doing it.
But then no one would consider social media.
Exactly. So I think the gray area is really about the circumstances and expectations, and the advice is tough to give because it's not general. And I also say this like very humbly, like I am not the authority, I don't think, on this, like for the obvious reason. I do have some experience, and so I'm happy to be the example of what not to do. But I think every single situation is nuanced. There are a lot of circumstances and variables that need to go into it. And you do need to take your time and look for resources out there, because it's like Star Wars. There is light side and there is dark side. And like, you do want to be a Jedi in approaching this, and like learning how to control the Force is like the best way to say it, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But our foundation is actually set up to do that. When I put this out into the world that like this happened to me and here's a big problem and I didn't solve it, you know, the foundation was a way for me to say, let's provide resources or referrals to pro bono attorneys or law firms that offer those kind of, you know, free resources or whatever. And then let's share these kind of stories. Let's share the stories of entrepreneurs and smart business women that made some mistakes and that are picking themselves up by the bootstraps and learning new ways, and share those secrets, because I think we're all very eager to explain what worked, right? Like, this worked. But it's always dependent on their circumstance and their situation. Whereas if you explain what didn't work and you kind of flip it, you know, it's looking at it from a different way of like, okay, well, process of elimination, let's not do those few things. Even if we don't know how we're going to start it, we know we're not going to do those things.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Done.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
It took 11 years to get to this sale. The Knicks anniversary sale is on now at knix.com. Celebrate the intimate apparel company that has reinvented products for real life with one of Knicks' biggest sales of the year. Get 30% off all leak-proof apparel from the number one leak-proof brand in North America, including period underwear, swimwear, activewear, and more. Millions of people have made the switch to Knicks leak-proof underwear, and there's never been a better time for you to try. Save 30% on super comfortable, machine-washable, and great-looking underwear that's perfect for periods and light bladder leaks. Choose from a variety of colors, styles, and sizes, from extra small to 4XL. You can even match your leak-proof underwear with an incredibly supportive and comfortable Knicks wireless bra. Don't miss this chance to stock up on your Knicks favorites or try something new. It only happens once a year at Knicks.com. That's KNIX.com for the Knicks anniversary sale. Hurry, the sale ends on Monday, May 13th. Go to Knicks.com. That's KNIX.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And finding out what doesn't work is honestly sometimes more valuable than what does work, because everyone can show the highlight reel, but like what crashed and burned, you know, like that. So what's the foundation called?
A Girl You Might Know.
A Girl You Might. Oh, because that could be all of us.
That's what I went by for the 2 year period. I was still in a contract extension period.
So you're there to help other budding women entrepreneurs not get lost in the mess of the big world of the legal world. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Captain Morgan, I see a microphone in your hand. I cannot wait to hear
it's
what you have to say.
So ironic we have you on today, because I just went through a contract negotiation and you came to my mind immediately when I was going through it. I carved out my personal social accounts, literally wrote in the handles of each individual one.
Smart cookie you are.
But I was so, well, I mean, because of you, but my question is, what was written in your contract that allowed them to take your name? Is it just because the dress brand itself was your name? So they've got the trademarks, they own them. Was it using your likeness and image in perpetuity instead of just through the term of the agreement? I know I'm getting into the weeds here, but I'm curious because I just inked a deal myself.
Yeah, I'm like so afraid to answer this question fully transparently because I don't want to get in trouble. But what I can, how I can answer this is by saying, basically in a lawsuit, there's just arguments presented, right? And like, this is how we're arguing it. This is how we're interpreting it. And in my case, because there was a transfer, I gave the rights for my name to be trademarked and there was the word perpetuity and there were other things, like the way it's kind of been argued, it was kind of all encompassing. And so to your, you know, knowledge and what you did in your contract, it's very smart to get really specific, you know, and to have those little nuggets that are like, it can be this, this, and this, except this, this, and this, you know, and like the more specific you can be, the better. And yeah, again, like I never could have ever imagined it being interpreted that way, but it is. And so it's really, it was frightening at first. And now I just kind of find it like, it is what it is, even though I don't even know what it is. And then there it is, you know, it's like.
I was actually following you when all of this happened. Oh, and I was one of those angry people that you mentioned, just thinking how, and I don't want to say anything that's going to get you in trouble, but I'm like, thank you. She is the brand. Like, how do you carry on the brand without her? Oh, surely they did. But I mean, it's like a boring drop account now that your glitter isn't sprinkled all over it. So those are my two cents. Back to you, Caroline.
I think that's so, I'm so glad, Morgan, you're so, Steve Morgan's so smart. She knows how to talk legal. She knows all these things. Like, talk legal to me, Morgan. Tell me all the dirty talk, baby girl. I'm just kidding.
I love that. I love it.
But it is so frightening and it is so overwhelming and it is so much. Yeah. And oh my God. Yeah. So they're saying, yeah. Okay. Okay. I mean, I think that's it. I don't even know how to like dive back more into this because it's just such a mess, but they're basically saying, we want to keep it the same. And you're saying, I don't want to keep it the same. And then they're saying, okay, now we're going to dive in and we're going to take everything.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
You don't want to keep it the same anymore.
It just didn't make sense. And like, it was already expiring anyway. And so it needed to be addressed.
Cause you've just left and it would have just gone away, or did you have to renegotiate?
Actually, now that I know what I know, I am not convinced that I really had an opportunity to leave a very scary, hostile situation. Which is, that's another thing to think about, you know, when you're writing your contracts and stuff, is that there needs to be a real opportunity for you to not be forced to work in a situation that is debilitating. Exit strategy. Yeah. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of nuanced lessons and, you know, even in how I'm kind of addressing this, everything is from, you know, my perspective and my experience and totally from, you know, my opinion. And I think it's important to make that distinction because, you know, it's, you only look at things from what you see and what happens to you. Right. And I'm not anti-capitalism, you know, like I believe that a company needs to protect itself as well. And it needs to have a contract in place, you know, just as much, you know, and, but I do think two things can be true. I think there is a way to have a scenario where everyone benefits. I don't think that's some reckless optimism. I think it's responsible. And I hope in my scenario, you know, in what people have seen, I hope it does give a little bit of, it makes corporate responsibility a very important thing to think about because like with these, you know, radio and record label companies and everything that just kind of like, we need to kind of almost own this individual.
And they scoop you up when you're real young and you don't really know.
And then you're limited on what you can do and where you can go and all this stuff. It's like, it's a way of them, it's an exercise of control, but I find it to be a huge weaponization of power. And I don't think it's necessary because if that person is not willing to be the key person, and you don't have key person insurance, you know, like you've got a problem, you know? And so like, it shouldn't, I don't think it should be looked at from this, like we have to make sure that it's always within our control. I think there needs to be responsibility on both sides and accountability, and it needs to be fruitful so that everyone can make money, everyone can do a good job and it can feel right. And so that's what our foundation is trying to do. And it comes from not just my experience, but like you say, the Taylor Swift situation, all these like YouTubers and chefs and fitness people and everybody that's got a personal brand now and how they can protect it. Because there are obviously people that want to make money with you, and then there's people that want to make money off of you.
Oh, and that's a big distinction.
It's a huge distinction, and it can be okay in certain scenarios. But I also just think, again, having those expectations up front and having the right contracts and working with the right people.
I feel like we're feeling that a lot more, whereas before, back in the day, before social media really hit and people could kind of become their own brand and have exposure on their own without a big machine behind them, you know, it's like people would sign these deals because you didn't have a whole lot more options to get out there. You know, you didn't have a lot of vehicles. You didn't have a lot of ways to be seen and heard. So you kind of had to link in, and they held all the power. And now we're kind of realizing, okay, I can hold my own power. I don't need a big iron fist telling me exactly what to do. And so I feel like that is where we are now, where people like you have gone through this. It's like, I feel like it's shifting. People won't sign those deals anymore because there's so many more outlets.
I love what you just said. Everything about it is spot on. And it's like, that's it. That's the takeaway. It's that our world now has become so focused on the power of the individual and what they are capable of doing. And with social media and with your own ability to harness your trajectory and your voice and your narrative and all that, it puts you in a position where you get to determine your worth. Mm. And yes, you're going to want to bring partners in, and you're going to want to find people that have distribution or a bigger way for you to get out there. But you're going to go in with that much more confidence and a real platform so that you don't have to sign a potentially debilitating or one-sided contract that takes away all of your rights, you know, or even inadvertently, or you didn't know. It probably won't happen as much anymore, hopefully.
And people are kind of exposing these big corporations and these big brands, and they're like, what? This is not fair. This is not right. This is unjust. Like, you know, this is not humane to do this. I don't know if humane is the right word, but it's like, you know, it's just, it's not right.
Civil liberties do come into question at times like that. So, you know, and it needs to work. It, like, the system needs to work. There has to be those big companies, and they do need to have protections, but there has to be a better way. Like, I believe it. There has to be a better way.
I love that. Okay, we're an hour in, so I'm going to quickly just move on to your new venture. This is Plotline Sierra, last one. What are we doing now? You've reinvented yourself. You have come from the ashes, Phoenix rising. You are a horse running in the wild, unbridled, with glitter flowing out of your mane. What's going on? I mean, here just you that. Are. You're just
that's it.
That's it.
Plotsy is awesome.
Plotsy is Skip the best. See. You've learned all these hard lessons. Your diamond has been totally, you've been in the fire. You've been whittled down. Your diamond is chipped away. It is shining. All the rough edges are gone. Here you are. What's happening now? What can we expect for Cheval? What are we manifesting in the future? You're a huge manifester, obviously, but now you've learned all these lessons. So now you're like lethal because you have the power to manifest. You're not scared to hit the rock bottom.
That's
and
right.
Totally the dumpster fire, take over your entire existence, identity, everything. Now you're rebuilding, and here you are, like, shining with your bright smile. You still got the joy. You're not letting it take you down, and you probably have just, like, a sense of freedom. I mean, I don't know what you feel, but, like, also, like you said before, nobody can take you down, and you have all this knowledge. Like, you are armed and ready to build this next brand. So what can we expect? What are you looking forward to? What is going on with Cheval?
I love everything you just said. You're so easy to talk to. I feel like there is a sense of freedom, of course, because I'm already down. So, like, you're not going to take me down even further.
Yeah.
but while I was down, I feel like I just had these amazing people showing up for me, and they were the casualties, right? They were the ones that got impacted the most by this scenario, despite me nearly going bankrupt and, you know, losing a lot. I realized that, you know, moving forward and finding a new way to express myself is what this is about. It's holding on to my creativity, holding on to my joy. And while, yeah, this does suck, I can still be a pretty good person. I can still be happy. You know, I'm a bubbly, happy person. Just even in my emotional home at, like, baseline, I'm pretty happy.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. And I recognize every day, I'm like,
that's a gift.
I wake up most days happy. Like, not everybody gets that and feels that. And, like,
what is that that makes, what are you happy for, though?
No.
Do you have a higher connection? Are you, like, what is your,
what it is? Like, mostly I'm happy. It's weird. And I think that's weird for people to hear that, that have a lot, they're experiencing things in life that just constantly beat them down. And I feel like I can be a message for people of, you know, like, it's not always going to be like that. And I hope you know that for yourself. But I do try to take care of myself in that, like, I love a good workout. I love to go walks. Like, I call a friend, and when I need to vent, I call my mom. You know, like, all the, I have these people in my life.
Just be careful who you vent to. So do you just vent to your mom?
Oh, dang.
I've learned that. Like, you can't vent to everybody. That's been a big lesson.
Love gossip. Yeah, I know.
Oh, and like, you, when it's fresh on your mind and you don't know how it's bubbling out of you, you kind of just like say stuff and you're like, oh God, you can't just vent to everybody. Cause
well,
then
when you trust people too. You're like, oh, I can trust you and tell you.
You can trust like one person, like your mom.
Yeah.
Or your sister.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's about it. You can't tell the nitty gritty details to everybody.
It's tough. You have to pick and choose. That's part of the journey is learning who you can really let in and like, who are the people that are cut from the same cloth as you.
That's a good one.
But I think when you recognize that there are people in your life that love you so much and they just genuinely want you to do well, it's such a special thing because a lot of us feel like people are just trying to take you down, you know, all the time. And it makes you want to do well, right? And I feel like I had this amazing community that showed up and they just made me want to do things, like make things again, right? And they put it out there. They were the muse. The people that are started following me on my new Instagram, you
What's
know.
What's your new Instagram?
It's all the glitters on the gram. It's so like that's the longest personal? Handle ever.
So is that your personal?
That's like my personal. It was our podcast, but I turned it into kind of my personal now, you know?
So are we separating personal and name now? Is that a big distinction?
I have three Instagrams. I run them all. It's all the glitters on the gram. She is Cheval, which is the business, but technically it's still my, like I still run it. Like it is my personal in a way. And then the foundation.
What's the foundation?
Oh, all the, a girl you might know, Foundation. Sorry.
Okay, so you run all three. Yeah.
So I run all three.
Would you ever have your name be a brand again? Or would you always, do you think there's, what's the benefit and the downfall of having your name as the brand?
I don't know. I feel like everybody's scenario is different. So it's hard to, again, it's like really hard to generalize those things. I feel like your name is beautiful. And if it's the brand name you want to go with, you should do it and you should just protect it, right? Mm-hmm. And license it. Mm-hmm. Own it for yourself and license it. Okay. You know, if you're going to sign something where you are giving rights to any part of your world, your talent, whatever, it needs to be protected. It needs to be in the right way. And you should probably get paid for it. Like a good amount, not just get a job, but get paid for it if you're going to do it. That's my advice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing. And like, I would of course use my brand or my name as my brand going forward. And Cheval, you know, is my alter ego and I'm using it as the brand name, of course. So I'm not afraid of that. I just think you have to do it in the right way.
Do you feel different as Cheval?
Yeah.
Like what is, who is Cheval?
Cheval is like totally different than
who is she?
I like, I have to think about this.
Like, what's the difference between your birth given name and Cheval?
I feel like Cheval doesn't take, like she's not afraid to kick up some dust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because she's kind of got a little bit of that warrior status and like.
Warrior?
Yeah. Like I feel like she's hard to tame and I like that.
I like that.
But I think she's a little bit more cognizant of some people might not be good. Right. And that's a hard lesson to learn, too, because you want to assume most people are good. Cheval's more like, tell me again or tell me more about mm-hmm, that. You know, mm-hmm. like question it. Be skeptical.
A little more skeptic.
Yeah. I like that. And then, you know, any doors that Cheval kicks down, she leaves open, which is good.
For others.
Yes. Got to leave the doors open. Yeah. Hopefully she creates a little bit of a ripple or rising tide to lift all other ships. You know, that's like the mentality is like, I've got some secrets. I'll share them with you. I've got some major mistakes. Definitely share those with you. But yeah, I mean, anything kind of goes, but she's definitely a girl ongoing, you know, it's like work in progress. Like we all are. And some of it's, I'm winging it. Like my eyeliner, I say. Some of it, it's not always even. But yeah, I don't know. I'm so happy for her.
I'm so happy for Cheval too. Cheval's a total badass. Are you loving the new designs and creations, like the shoes? Is that fun to enter a whole new field?
Yeah, it's been a blast.
You've loved it? Of course you have, because you're happy. Yeah. Like you're just the happiest person on the planet.
Yeah, I very am much happy with it. And the shoes are challenging.
I mean, how awesome are these?
You can't fit a shoe. You can totally tailor and fit a dress. You cannot fit a shoe. Oh. So we've definitely learned a lot about the manufacturing process and like quality control. And like when you see something that's not perfect, like I like freak out because I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's missing a rhinestone or that, like, but you realize it's a totally different product line and there's different expectations and like, you know, you're learning and then there's size runs. And so like your inventory management's really important. And like, what are your margins? And like all this stuff that I never.
That sounds so stressful.
It's extremely stressful.
Yeah.
And like the first piece of advice that I got in shoes, like I actually got to meet Stuart Weitzman, Stuart Weitzman. And like, it was epic. But like a lot of that first exposure to the shoe world, the general advice was that you're not going to make money in shoes. So you probably shouldn't do it.
Really?
And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to make shoes.
So I'm going to make shoes. Have we made money in shoes?
Oh my gosh. We have definitely survived. We're not on the stage of like this, like, you know, like, oh my gosh, we, you know.
It's not raining dollar bills just yet.
Not but, just yet.
But you're not like sinking.
Oh no. And okay. We are like, so our trajectory and our momentum has been so blessed by the community that's come with us and that are helping us evolve together. And so I pay my respects to that every day. It's like, if you do put a product out there in the world, you need the person, you need the girl to wear them and you need her to love them. And she is your champion and she is your hero and your ambassador. And like, that's kind of what we've invested in this brand. And we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep looking for things that we can do that will bring women joy. And hopefully we'll do like handbags and other accessories. And I'm still under limitations in what I can do. And that'll be interesting as things unfold, because at some point there is not going to be a lawsuit, which would like,
what
I can't wait
to
like
you're free.
I'm going to sing Hello from the Other Side. not as good as Adele, but I will sing it on social.
Can we have a taste?
I want to like, you'll lose half your fan base hearing me sing and screech into the phone. But yeah, someday I'll sing that.
That's amazing. You're amazing. What a force you are. I mean, just to pick yourself up. And also shoes can hurt your feet. Like, how do you make them not hurt?
Well, the anatomy of a foot is very important to consider, where the nerves are and all that, and the shapes of the shoe. And
too many things to think about.
It's a lot to think about, but you know, no matter what they'll tell you is, oh, these heels are comfortable. What they mean to say is that you can probably wear them for 4 to 6 hours, a good amount of time. But no matter what, if you are in heels, they are going to hurt after the 6th hour. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you're human. So like, I like to be real with it. And then we also are very clear that we're specialty. So we're not for everybody. We love sparkling everything.
Your slippers with the big bows, I'm like dead for.
Ridiculous. Okay, I'll send them to you. but yeah, we're having a lot of fun, and I have the most incredible business partner, and I'm so blessed because
I'm sure you had a different deal. You went in with a different legal deal.
She was my sales director for almost 10 years.
Oh my God.
So she is literally my ride or die.
And y'all probably just built a deal that was so good for both of y'all.
That's right. We are onwards and upwards, and we ride at dawn. So yeah.
I freaking love you. Okay. I always wrap with leave your light. I don't even know what kind of information. It's like, what do you want people to know? I mean, there's so much because you've dropped so much wisdom, knowledge, learning lessons. What do you want people to take away from you, your experience, your journey?
The hard comes. The hard times come. And if you cannot let it jade you, it's so important, because it is holding on to your enthusiasm and your passions. So much of life, I think, attempts to strip you down of that. And it might change you. It might mold you. You might have to shapeshift at times. But if you can really hold on to that literal heart and soul, like I say, I went from designing from the heart to now I'm designing from my soul, but like the soul of a shoe, pun intended. It's so good for you. It's so good for you if you can do that. That's self-care.
Siobhal, you're amazing. I cannot wait to see your journey continue to unfold. You're such a light, and what a story. Oh my gosh. Will you stick around for a quick little bonus episode where we answer some burning questions?
Oh, heck yeah.
It's a little game.
I'm never leaving. Okay. I'm not going to want to leave Nashville.
Okay, we're going to ask some burning questions. So y'all tune in on Thursday, and we're going to have Siobhal answering some burning questions. You're the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
The
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.